We are about to tackle the controversies right here on the Line of Fire. Oh, yes, things will be heating up.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I cannot wait to get into some of the issues with you today, get your feedback, get your input. I've got some questions I want to ask you about the killing of Trayvon Martin. I want to talk to you about the atheist non-believer rally in Washington, D.C. took place over the weekend. Got a bunch of other things I want to get into with you as well, and getting ready to head to New York. But first, tonight, the debate with Rabbi Shmuley, that'll be recorded for TV. Tell you more about that in a little while. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Please be praying. My dear friend Rabbi Shmuley is in town now, flew in this morning from the West Coast, and we're scheduled to record a debate for TV for Sid Roth. There'll be a DVD that'll be available of it. It will air, God willing, everything going well. It will air nationally, internationally, so we'll be letting you know about that. But be praying. Again, Shmuley really is a dear friend. We have some precious times of face-to-face private interaction. What we say publicly in terms of our esteem and friendship for one another is true. And, of course, I'm praying for him to see the light. So be in prayer. It'll be a small closed audience event, maybe 125, 150 people there max. I think that's about all they can get in the studio there. And then we'll be filming that live. So if you're praying tonight, that would be great. I'll let you know more about the New York schedule in a little while. Okay. Controversy number one. I need your input. All right. I really need your thoughts on this. Help me understand this. The nation has focused on the killing of Trayvon Martin, high school student Trayvon Martin. And I don't know anything more about the details than you do, okay? I don't know anything more about the specifics of the situation than you know, okay? I'm not privy to some private info anywhere, okay? So I know the same thing that you know, that there was a Hispanic American who was on a night watch patrol who was armed with a gun, which he was not supposed to be, who was following Trayvon Martin, that he was not supposed to be following him. At some point, there was a confrontation. According to some reports, the fight breaks out. George Zimmerman has his nose broken, has a wound to the back of his head. He's screaming for help on a 911 call, and he shoots in self-defense. That's what the police accept. Trayvon Martin is dead. The other reports are, what are you talking about, self-defense? He's following the guy. He's armed with a gun. It's obviously racial profiling, and because it's a black man wearing a hoodie, and that's why George Zimmerman went after him, and maybe he attacked. Who knows? There was a fight. Okay, fine. Something happened, but he shot him, and the police do nothing about it and completely bungle it and just say it's self-defense. I understand the controversy. I'm not getting into those areas. I'm trying to understand something else. So please help me with this. There are all these rallies now, these hoodie rallies. There's talk now that Trayvon has a heavenly hoodie. The entire Miami Heat basketball team posed in these hoodies, these sweatshirts with hoods, and you wear the hood on. Rally in Philadelphia. Talking about rallying everyone, you know, wearing hoodies, and the mayor said this was virtually an assassination. There was no reason for something like this to happen. What I don't understand, I'm just trying to sort out here, is Mayor Nutter in Philadelphia, last year, famously at a church service, railed on the young people and railed on the parents. And one of his quotes was, take those gosh darn hoodies down, especially in the summer. Put your pants up by a belt because no one wants to see your underwear or the crack of your butt. I'm just trying to sort out this hoodies issue, and I need your help. We'll talk about it when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
If you are in the New York City area this Wednesday, if you're in the Manhattan area, join me at 5 o'clock at the NIAC campus. It's 361 Broadway in Manhattan, 361 Broadway, the NIAC campus. I'll be speaking at their chapel service, bringing a message on the spineless gospel of tolerance and acceptance. Especially pastors, we'd love for you to be there, and I'll be able to meet with some pastors after the event. That's this Wednesday at NIAC College, the New York City campus, 361 Broadway, 5 o'clock for the chapel service. Again, my message will be on the spineless gospel of tolerance and acceptance. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Help me sort this out. Is the hoodie a good thing or a bad thing? I thought that Mayor Nutter last year got a lot of people's attention with what he said. Take those gosh darn hoodies down, especially in the summer. Pull your pants up, buy a belt, because no one wants to see your underwear or the crack of your butt. If you walk into somebody's office with your hair uncombed and a picket in the back and your shoes untied and your pants half down, tattoos up and down your arms and on your neck, and you wonder why somebody won't hire you, they don't hire you because you look like you're crazy. You have damaged your own race. It was the mayor of Philadelphia. And I read this quote because it mentions the hoodies right down, right at the beginning, and calls them, well, I paraphrased it, to gosh darn. Take those gosh darn hoodies down, especially in the summer. So I don't understand now why this is the positive identification. I just need somebody to help me with this, okay? Why has this now become the positive thing to celebrate? Now, let me say again, I don't know anything more about this case than you do. I read the same news reports that you read. And it is very, very possible that this is a horrific case of racial profiling and cold-blooded murder that the police completely missed. Completely. On the other hand, this could be an example of racism in reverse or other things. We've got the new Black Panthers calling for a bounty on this man's head and crazy things like this. When you're still innocent till proven guilty, yes? I mean, they want him arrested and so on. You're still innocent till proven guilty in America. Isn't that true? So I'm just trying to understand this. And I also want to ask another question to help me understand. Is it ever right to do racial profiling? For example, if we knew that there were bombers that were trying to take down major strategic sites in America and were trying to create havoc on our planes with different things, and they had succeeded, and every one of them had been part of a Swedish sect devoted to destroying America, and everyone so far that had been arrested was a male, at least 6 feet three, blue eyes and blonde hair from Sweden. Should someone like that, if they're getting on a plane or if they're acting suspiciously, be singled out any more than anyone else? Is it ever right? I'm asking questions purely to get feedback, purely for understanding. All right. I don't have any agenda in asking. It's just been on my mind, and I wanted to raise it because the whole country is talking about it. And I trust you, my listeners, to give me some good insight, to give me some thoughts on this, all right? So I want to hear from all of you. I want to get your opinions. I want to sharpen my perspective by hearing yours. Fair enough? 866-34-TRUTH. I got a bunch of things to cover, but here's where we're starting, and we're going to stay here for a little while. So I'm going straight to the phones. Ikarma in Columbia, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. You said you wanted to understand about the hoodie situation and why people are putting on the hoodies. I think people are doing that to take a stand to say that no matter what you wear, it shouldn't be a cause for being gunned down. And I think the issue is more about race than it is about hoodies. Hoodies is an article of clothing. All people of all races wear hoodies. But not all people are gunned down because they look suspicious. There's an excellent article online at the Global Grind by a Caucasian person who says he wears hoodies. Mm-hmm. But he makes the point that he will never be stopped as being suspicious. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like we try to make an excuse for racism. I rarely, I'm not saying this never happened, but I rarely hear of a young white person being gunned down or shot 18 times because he was going for his wallet. I never hear about a young white person in the neighborhood walking at night being killed or shot down or mistaken for somebody, who is dangerous.
Now, just a question.
Let me just say one more thing.
Sure,
the
please.
The cries
do.
On that tape, from my understanding and what I observed, were coming from that young boy. And the people who heard those cries said it was coming from that young boy.
I thought the father said that those were not the cries of his son, and others have attested to that. But either way, like I said, I'm not. The point I'm making is I don't know any more about the situation than you do. I'm trying to just gain a perspective because last year, the mayor of Philadelphia is saying the hoodies give you a bad image, and you shouldn't be wearing them. Take them down.
Well,
and now they're being
this.
Celebrated. So that's just what I'm trying to sort out.
It's not the hoodies, you know. And a lot of times people are playing because this is something the black community has had to suffer with for years. You have to be conscious of how you dress. You have to be conscious of how you talk. You have to be conscious of how you walk. And adults have been trying to protect their children by telling them, hey, you got to do certain behaviors.
Isn't it the reverse that the mayor was saying, don't wear your pants hanging down and don't do this and don't do that because that was part of the kids' culture and it's a negative image?
Well, you know, I don't agree with, I have a young son. He doesn't wear his pants down. I don't agree with that image, but this is derails the issue. The issue about what we should be speaking about if we want to gain understanding is in a country where, you know, it claims to be the greatest country in the world, in a country where black people have slaved for years, you know, to help build this country and continue to be discriminated against. And this young boy who's 17, who is in his father's neighborhood or his stepmother's neighborhood, just coming home from the store.
But hang on. We still don't have here. Here's the deal. I just wanted to address one thing on my program. Question
you
I have.
You want to dress the hoodie because white people don't want to dress racism.
I see reverse racism constantly.
Right.
I see
white
bashing.
That's what white people want to do.
I see ugly. You got to listen to me. I have never been a racist in my life before I was saved. Or since I've been saved, I don't relate to racism. I'm asking an innocent question here, and I feel like I'm getting assaulted. I feel like I'm getting accused and assaulted. Is that right? Is that Christian? And I can barely even get a word in. I asked a simple question because I'm trying to understand something. That's all. And there's a judge and jury that's hung someone, doesn't even know what's happened. Shall I talk about three black men that killed a white kid at college the other day and took off? No, because I'm not trying to incite any kind of racial anything. I'm asking a question. Am I not allowed to ask a question and get input? Please. I feel that's strongly judgmental. Think about it. And if you want reverse racism, I don't want any racism. I don't want reverse racism. I don't want any racism. But thank you for weighing in. I'm eager to hear more. Connie in Howard County, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, I just want to say this. The hoodie issue, teenagers, young people, older people, all of us, we at some point, not all of us, but a majority of the people wear hoodies. So that we will remove that from this whole issue of what's going on. But you know what? Maybe the attitude of that older guy, George Zimmerman, approaching that young guy and saying to him, you know, I'm part of the neighborhood watch. There have been robberies in this community. And if he had identified himself and just used a different approach with the young man, he wouldn't be in the situation he's currently in. And maybe, you know, the young man may not be did today.
Oh yeah,
it's
Connie.
All
let me just say this: the last thing I'm doing is defending George Zimmerman. Number one, I said at the beginning he shouldn't have been following him and he shouldn't have had a gun. My question was about another issue I'm just trying to sort out in my own mind here. But the last thing I'm doing, no, there's no reason that a young man is dead. Absolutely, there's no justifiable reason that he's dead, unless there's something to the story completely beyond what we know. But George Zimmerman should not have been following him. The police told him not to. He's not supposed to be doing that on the watch, and he shouldn't have had a gun on him. So the last thing I'm doing is defending George Zimmerman. There's an issue I'm trying to get to, which I may never get to. But thank you, Connie, for the call. And of course, I agree with you. There should not have been bloodshed.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we are going to model constructive discussion here on the Line of Fire. I said there were some controversies we wanted to address, and I want to hear your perspective, but please allow me to be accepted as truthful in mine. Fair enough. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. We're talking about the tragic killing of Trayvon Martin. I said at the outset, I know the same things you know reading the same news reports. I mean, maybe we've read different ones, but I don't have inside information from the police or anybody else. There's some secret eyewitness, okay? I did say it's possible the police have completely bungled things. I did say what we do know is that George Zimmerman, an Hispanic American, should not have been following Trayvon and that he should not have been armed with a gun. That we know. I don't think there's any question about that. Now, what transpired, how the confrontation took place, is it true that George Zimmerman had a broken nose and a wound to the back of his head? Could it be that he attacked Trayvon? Trayvon fought back? We don't know. We know that Trayvon was not armed and that he had a good reputation. I simply asked the question that I did not understand from how last year wearing the hoodie was a negative thing and sent a negative message, and now it's being used in a positive way to say everybody does it. That's a simple question I'm just trying to sort out, okay? From someone that if you've listened to me for my 4 years on the radio, if you've listened to me steadily, or however long I've been on in your area, you know that I am not a racist. And you know that I don't think in racist terms. I'm trying to address an issue and get your feedback on that specific issue. Is that fair enough? Just to understand. That's why I'm asking the question, to get perspective. If you want to just focus on the event itself or hang George Zimmerman without a trial, well, that's not the way we do things. Think if it was reversed. Okay, think if it was a black American who'd been doing the patrolling and found someone, there had been some Hispanic kids that had broken in and thought some kid was Hispanic and did racial profiling and went after him, and then the shooting's the reverse way and everyone's willing to hang this guy. You've got the Ku Klux Klan saying, get this guy, this black guy. Well, there'd be outrage over that, wouldn't there? Rightly so. So I'm just trying to understand issues, culture, get insight. That's why I'm asking the questions. Fair enough? So you're free to say what you want to say, but just don't paint me contrary to who I am. Fair enough? 866-34-TRUTH. Tara in Silver. All right, we lost Tara in Silver Spring. Let's go to Leo in Montgomery Village, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for having me. I'd like to qualify anything I say, any of my opinions, with the fact that I don't want any of my opinions to be a stumbling block for anyone listening. However, from what I do know about this case, when I first heard about it and first read about it, I was under the impression based on, I think it was on Yahoo News, that the person in question, George Zimmerman, was a white neighborhood watch captain who carried a weapon to murder young African-American man, Trayvon Martin. And as time went on, it was revealed that after, seeing his picture, that it was a Hispanic man. So one of the things that after doing a little bit of research on is that apart from the hoodie situation, I think just to answer that question, I think the reason why folks have, I guess, used it as a call to arms, or not a call to arms, but rather like a rally point around this, mm-hmm. you know, wear a hoodie, I think is because it's empowering in the sense that not everyone who wears a hoodie is a criminal. So I could see where that's coming from. But one of the things that I'm concerned with as a conservative, but, you know, thinking on both sides, because I wasn't always a Christian. I lived on the West Coast. I've got cousins who are gangbangers. One of the things that I think about is if you, again, like, I'm not saying this is the case for Trayvon or this case. No one knows what happened because he's not in court. There hasn't been a formal trial. And right. So it's all speculation. So what I'm saying is, The things that are now in jeopardy are, I feel, the stand your ground law, which does protect law-abiding citizens, the right to carry firearms, which may be in question because of.
And just to jump in here, Leo, the stand your ground law in Florida, obviously, if you're following someone, how does that apply? And if you're following someone in part of a watch and you're supposed to be unarmed, how does that apply? So the whole thing is ambiguous. Like I said from the start, this could have been completely bungled by the police. This could have been handled terribly. It could be that George Zimmerman provoked the whole thing and is totally guilty. And if that's the case, it will play out in the court of law. There's enough pressure to get this done properly. I absolutely understand we're all going to wear hoodies to show that plenty of fine people wear hoodies, and the hoodie signifies nothing. I fully understand that. I just thought last year, according to Mayor Nutter, it did symbolize something, and it was a negative image. That's what I'm still confused about. Let me try to grab one more call before a break. Mark in Teaneck, New Jersey. All right, we lost Mark. It means we got one line. Oh, well, not anymore, but keep trying. Tammy in Suitland, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Please.
Hi. My comment about the hoodie, based on what the mayor of Philadelphia said.
Yeah.
I think he was alluding to the fact that when you have on a hoodie, you are hidden. And, you know, people who are, let's say criminals, okay, mm-hmm. we're going to say criminals, they will wear a hoodie to hide themselves, okay? You can't see, you can't make no identification when you see somebody walking with a hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but again, like everyone else is saying, you know, anybody could wear a hoodie. Everybody wears a hoodie. Those people who were doing the demonstration with hoodies, I am sure that none of them needed to go buy one. I'm a 50-year-old female, and I wear a hoodie.
Got it. Just okay, you got a sweatshirt with a hoodie, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I really don't think. Well, we know the hood is not really the issue. The point is that the guy in the mayor in Philadelphia was saying how when you see somebody in a hoodie in the sag, and it just doesn't, you know, it doesn't look right in terms
right.
of you know, what, why are you wearing?
Hey Tammy,
you don't go to it.
Yeah, do me a favor. Just okay. Hang on. I got a break. I want to talk to you right on the other side of the breaks. I don't want to cut off Tammy here. I'll get to all your calls. Stay with me. Friends, we constantly get asked questions to change gears here about the deity of Jesus. Can he be God? Can you believe in one God and the Trinity? And well, we did a tremendous debate. Dr. James White and I teamed up and debated Sir Anthony Buzzard, Mr. Joseph Good, on the deity of Messiah, Son of God, or Chosen Man. We've got an amazing resource. It's two DVDs, nicely packaged. We've reduced the price. We're paying the postage. Get hold of this. Just $15, postage paid. You'll find it to be one of the best resources on the subject. Who is Jesus really? Son of God or Chosen Man? 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978 to order this. Do it today.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
One of the joys, friends, of talk radio is that I get to share my thoughts with you, and you get to share your thoughts with me. And a lot of times, the calls that I get, the insights, the comments from my listeners really help shape my own thinking. This is interactive. This is two-way. There are days where I've just got to get on my bully pulpit, as we say, or behind my bully pulpit or on my soapbox, and I'm just going to share my heart for 45 minutes and not even get to a call. But most time, I want to interact here, back and forth. That's what we're doing today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. By the way, atheist, non-believer rally in D.C. took place on Saturday. Read my take on it on townhall.com. The not-so-massive non-believers rally in D.C. That's townhall.com. It's right there on the homepage. So before I go back to Tammy in Maryland, what got me wondering about the hoodie situation with Trayvon Martin, again, it's a tragedy that he's dead. We don't know all the circumstances. It could be the police have completely bungled this. It could be that this is entirely on the hands of George Zimmerman, and if so, then may he be rightfully convicted. It could be there are other circumstances we don't know yet. What we do seem to know is that he was following Trayvon and he shouldn't have been, and that he was armed with a gun, which he shouldn't have been. That is what seems certain. But what got me wondering when I just saw the Miami Heat putting hoodies on, I thought something in the back of my mind told me that this was considered a negative image by some. And then these hoodie rallies and things like that. So I just thought about it. I said, that's right. Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter last year preaching, I think it was in a Baptist church in Philadelphia, very forcefully talking about the way the young people were dressing and the bad image. And he specifically said, take those gosh darn hoodies down, especially in the summer. Pull your pants up, buy a belt, so on. No one wants to see your underwear. So he put this all in the same category. That's what had me wondering. So, Tammy, I didn't want to cut you off before the break. You were saying that that everybody has hoodies, you know, sweatshirts or on coats, whatever. You wear them in certain types of weather. But there's an aspect that the mayor could have been referring to where you're kind of hiding your identity, or someone that's going to commit a crime is hiding themselves. But there was more you wanted to say. I didn't want to cut you off.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Sure.
The other thing is that, you know, a hoodie is not something that you would wear to an interview or to a prospective opportunity. Mm-hmm. I think what the mayor was trying to get across is that, you know, a hoodie has its place. It's like every article of clothing. You don't wear a bathing suit to school. Okay, so if you're going on a job interview, you don't wear a hoodie. If you're on your way to meet someone about a you know, opportunity, you don't wear a hoodie. Okay, so I believe that's the context in which he meant it.
Present yourself professionally.
Yes.
Now, do you think, though, that I don't want to get too far mm-hmm. off topic here, but the larger issue, and this could be white kids, this could be black kids, doesn't
right.
matter. But the idea of you know, that pants hanging down in public. I mean, to me, pull them up anywhere.
Yes.
Forget the job interview. Just pull
Absolutely.
Those up.
Absolutely.
So, right. But back to you. We got a few seconds before the break. So back to you. I'll let you get the last word in here.
Well, I think the main issue is, you know, people focusing on this hoodie thing. But I believe that had the man been arrested, period,
yep.
even if they let him go, had he been arrested, all of this hoopla may not be going on. He was never arrested. Anybody that shoots anybody for any reason at least gets pulled into the police office.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing on the surface of it. Look, if you're a policeman and you shoot, I think you can't do anything while they investigate or something
exactly.
like that. Yeah, so, I mean, that's why I've said I don't know the whole details, but it seems bizarre that you could just
exactly.
say, hey, we got in the fight and I fired in self-defense. I mean, what if you taunted someone for 20 minutes and then they attacked you? So, yeah, words of wisdom there, Tammy. Thank you. We'll be back. I want to get your perspective. Stay with us.
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, folks, I consider it a joy and honor to have this time where we can interact candidly, where we can share our viewpoints candidly. The key thing is we have to take at face value what we say to one another. And if I share my heart honestly on something, you have to take my word for it, unless you have evidence to the contrary that I'm lying or deceiving. And if I don't do things with ulterior motives. If I'm trying to get somewhere or make a point, then I'll make that or I'll develop that in the course of the show. I'm simply interacting, getting feedback, getting understanding. I'm always trying to sensitize myself and to gain understanding. And that way I can sharpen my own perspective. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Hey, jot this down. If you're in New York, if you're in New York City, Saturday night, we've got a couple events going on. Saturday night, this is only 50 people. That's all we have room for. This is an intimate meet and greet at the Jews for Jesus building in New York City. It's going to be 6 to 8 Saturday. If you can be there, if you're going to be there, we need to hear from you. So email us at info@askdrbrown.org. That's info@askdrbrown.org. Or call 704-782-3760. That's 704-782-3760. Not if you're thinking of coming. If you're definitely going to be there. If you're coming with anyone, we need to know the number because there's very limited seating. This is an intimate gathering. All right. Back to the phones. To reiterate, we are not discussing the larger crime issue of the killing of Trayvon Martin. We all are reading the same news reports. We all want to see justice done. We all want to see truth come forward. We all are grieved over the killing of anyone, especially a teenager. So harmony there, all right? Trying to gain insight onto larger related issues or just larger cultural things that are going on in response to this. And I think Tammy, our last caller, said something with real wisdom. If George Zimmerman had been arrested, and then, okay, let's look at this. You know, we're just going to take you in. You did fire a gun. You look wounded, and you said you fired in self-defense, but we've got to find out. If things had been handled differently, the parents notified differently, the outcry would be much less. I understand that. Fully understand that. 866-34-TRUTH. Peter in Rockville, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I agree with a lot of what Tammy said. But before I get to the hoodie issue real quick, I got to relate. On the same station last night, there was a show, and a guy identified himself, a black gentleman, called, and he made a very interesting point. He said, while he was not defending this Zimmerman guy in any way, he did say, why don't folks get so riled up when black kids are shooting other black kids every day in this country? And while I don't defend Zimmerman at all, I used to be a criminal. My father's from South America, my mother's Scandinavian, so I guess you could call me white Hispanic. But I went to a special school, high school in D.C. for troubled kids. I was heavily into drugs. And you know what Tammy said about wearing a hoodie, criminals, we did that. We and my buddies, because my buddy was white, we went into like a black neighbor to do what we were doing. You know, sometimes he would wear a hoodie or a parka tied his face because they told us to get out of that neighborhood because they knew we were up to no good and blah, blah, blah. And we did wear a hoodie to hide our faces. But that don't mean everyone that wearing a hoodie
right,
is
of course.
Up to no good.
And that's the question of was there profiling here and so on, and that's part of the outrage. And
well,
that's why people
guy sounds like an idiot.
That's why people
you shouldn't be carrying a gun like that unless
right,
you're
trained. Obviously. But the fact the trained or not, he wasn't supposed to be, you know, on the watch.
Right.
So that and he shouldn't have been following the kid. And I understand that people are wearing hoodies to send a message out and to say to say in that message, plenty of people wear hoodies that are fine people. And here we are, the Miami Heat, and here we are citizens, and we're wearing these to say you can't do racial profiling. I understand that. Again, the reason for my question came out of the way others had portrayed hoodies in the past in terms of something negative. As to the why isn't there outrage over black kids killing black kids and the casualties from that, I'm sure there is. It probably takes a different form. This is a different type of outrage, but that's a question I can't answered directly, hey, Peter, glad you're not a criminal anymore. I appreciate that. 866-34-TRUTH. Bob in Orange, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. I'm a lawyer for about 40 years in the marginal neighborhood. The hoodie has been pretty much associated with the gangs and the criminal types, but it's becoming more common as just a style. But it certainly started that way, and it's been an issue for the New York cab drivers going through Harlem. They didn't want to pick up guys with hoods, and it's been an issue in some of the graduate social studies programs. There's discrimination in that regard. But it is, and just to throw in a little bit of knowledge that most people don't know, the wearing the pants low really originated in the prisons.
Yes.
And it was the homosexuals that were doing that, but as it got out onto the street, it doesn't have any sexual connotation anymore. But that's where it began. It began in prison.
Yeah, it's certainly not a noble practice, regardless of its origins. And the origins of it, right, as I understand, make it all the more worse. So Bob, a question for you.
I can say is that a young man makes it harder for himself if he dresses like that. That's all I can say.
All right, regardless of his color or ethnicity. All right, just
Absolutely.
A question for you. Question for you, Bob.
Yes.
You got, say, cab drivers, they see someone looks a certain way, they don't want to get killed, they don't want to get robbed, they make a decision, but in the process they could be guilty of racial profiling, they could be guilty of discrimination, they could be guilty of unfair practices. What's the right approach to something like this in your
view? There's been a lot of division on that, Dr. Brown, and in fact I've had discussions with PhD candidates and with the MS candidates about that in the graduate school level. And because I've worked so long in this kind of an area, I pretty much say better safe than sorry. But the more liberal, especially the women, have usually thought it was a discriminatory practice. And I can't say that there's a real answer there. You just have to, you know, if it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you have to make a decision, I can't say what you should do.
Got it. Hey, Bob, I appreciate you weighing in, and thanks for your legal work these last 40 years.
You're most welcome.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Kirk in Washington, D.C., thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. I have a PhD in being black. I've been a black man for 50 years.
Uh-huh.
And
That's why I'm asking these questions.
Okay. To directly answer your question, just because one or two mayors gets on the TV or has the opportunity to use the mass media to say that a hoodie or any other article of clothing is a negative thing doesn't make it so. In my 50 years, all of my 50 years, black men and black women have worn hoodies, and it never had a negative connotation. Mm-hmm. Here's my issue. White children have been imitating the attire of black kids for all of my life. I don't hear about them getting shot because of the clothing they wear. I live in the D.C. area. I see just as many white kids with their pants sagging, but I don't see them profiled. So we want to try to dance around the issue of racism in this country, and the body of Christ is the biggest offender. Soon as we say the word racism, the body of Christ, oh, no, 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 no. Here's the issue I have. Why is it that when black people talk about racism, being victims of racism, white people become experts? I've noticed reverse racism. White people can identify white reverse racism, but they never stand up against racism.
So,
in
Kirk,
the body of Christ.
Kirk, so let me ask you a question, okay?
Yes, sir.
First thing, I'm not an expert on clothing or inner city culture or black dress or white dress. I certainly see the white kids following in the footsteps with the outfits and the pants down and all of that. And the reason for asking the question, that's why I'm asking the question. In other words, I had a certain impression based on things I heard from Mayor Nutter and others. Then I saw things, and it just got me thinking. I thought, I got a radio show. I want to talk about this. Now here's the deal. From my viewpoint, when I talk about America being a Christian nation, you'll never hear me say, well, America used to be a great Christian nation. I'll say we had certain principles that were wonderful. But I always say, what about slavery? What about segregation? I constantly raise these issues, right?
I can't say that I've listened to your show very often.
No,
I just happen to have you on. But I appreciate it. If that is truly the case,
you are
the rarity. You are the exception and not the rule.
Well, it could be, and maybe because I'm Jewish and I've watched church persecution of Jews through the centuries and different things. You know, it comes in all shapes, sizes, and forms. What What bothers me, though, is like when I took issue with Senator Obama when he was running for president, and I took issue with Hillary Clinton, and then suddenly someone calls me and says, why do you have to bring up race? I said, who brought up race? What are you talking? I mean, it completely baffled me because it was never who I am. So I think just sometimes you have to realize that there can be the stuff that surprises you. You know what I'm saying? Because it's never the issues have been the issues to me. But I understand the history, and the history is very
doctor,
recent,
doctor,
and the history
we
is not finished yet. Go ahead.
Yes,
tell you what. Stay with me. Stay with
yes,
me.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Get you on the other side of the break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. The issues we're talking about are highly sensitive, and many of you have a lot to say. From the moment we introduced the subject, the phone lines have been lit up and have stayed lit up. And I risk alienating someone or being misunderstood by even raising issues, but I'm doing it for the purpose of understanding. I'm doing it to further understanding, and I can't understand fully unless I hear from any of you, and you can't understand fully unless you hear from me. In other words, we have a conversation, and we listen to each other, and we gain perspective. We may end up agreeing more, disagreeing on certain points, but I need perspective from different listeners and different situations of life, different backgrounds, hence my questions. Fair enough? 866-34-TRUTH. All right, Kirk, I wanted to let you get the last word in, so go ahead, please.
Well, thank you, Doctor. I just want to end with this. This country has been around 300-400 years now, and we've never dealt with this issue of racism, and we deal with it in pockets. We don't want to deal with the truth. The Bible talks about coming to a brother in truth. Put the whole matter on the table, and then we can dismiss this nonsense. However, that means that white people would have to put down this defense. They're always defending it, but they're never addressing it. You can defend it, but let's address it. Mm-hmm. It's never been addressed in this country. It's been addressed in pockets and, you know, tidbits. Let's put it on the table and address it, and let's start in the body of Christ, because that's the problem. Thank you so much, Doctor.
Thank you, sir, for weighing in. I appreciate it, Kirk. God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. Karen in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How are you, Dr. Brown?
I'm blessed, and I'm listening attentively. Go ahead.
Well, that makes both of us. We're both listening attentively. My view is I understand what the mayor was addressing when he brought it to the forefront about these young men wearing clothes that are improper, but I'm going to indicate women too. I've worked with young people now over 30 years, and I do have a problem with that. But these are two different scenarios. As far as wearing a hoodie when it's cold outside, there's no problem.
Yeah, understood.
I have no problem with that. Well, but when you put
or if it's raining.
Thank you. But when you put on a hoodie and it's 90 degrees, we have an issue. And as far as your pants hanging down to your knees, we truly have an issue. I work also in the Boys and Girls Club here in Boston. They don't tolerate that type of foolishness.
Good.
But this scenario is to the complete left. First of all, if you want to, you know, buy something besides a hoodie, the young man had Skittles in his hands and iced tea.
Yes.
Okay, so we can go out and take those items as well. The way the situation was handled is very troubling.
That seems to be the biggest concern.
That's the highlight
concern.
Right there.
Right.
That's the highlight right there. A young man, he's being followed. They have evidence that the girlfriend overheard the conversation or heard the conversation between the Mr. Zimmerman and the young man. And this was never brought to the forefront. And I really agree with the attorney and the young man that spoke. These issues need to be addressed. You know, if we talk a little bit about it, then we sweep it back under the carpet. Things will never be resolved until you take that dirty old carpet up and clean it or either throw it away.
Yeah, well, Karen, the reason that I bring the issue up here is so that we can have conversation, and I'm always game to pursue these things. I'm always in. Look, when I've got a burden on my heart, I'm going to share it. When I'm convicted about something, I'm going to make it clear. And when I'm probing for understanding, I'm going to ask questions.
And that's the only way we'll all learn until we, you know, we ask questions and we want answers.
And
I enjoy your show. I listen to it every day here at work.
Well,
I don't want to say
you.
That too loud either.
Well, thank you. Listen, Karen, I appreciate it. And here's the thing. We both, when I say both, so I'm a white American, you're a black American, but
that's
immaterial. I'm just saying both for the purpose of the race conversation. We're brothers and sisters in Jesus. That's the bigger issue.
That's
and
the main thing.
That's what we all
need to get on the same page.
But in order to have constructive conversation, and it's on the heels of what Kirk said, is we all have to say, okay, we're just going to tell the truth. And if what I say totally offends you, or if what you say totally offends me, we're going to sit there and keep talking. We're going to try to understand, because if we dance around it, we never get anything
done.
We'll
never get nothing solved.
Yeah, so that, again, I'm probing. I knew this was risky, and
the first call was a little rocky.
I'm glad
you brought it to the forefront. I'm really glad you brought it to the forefront. I don't usually call, but I was got the urge to do it today.
Well, I'm so glad you did, and I'm so glad for the work you're doing with young people. God bless you, Karen.
Thank you. And God bless you, too.
All right, thanks. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, I'm going to keep the conversation going. I want to honor those who have been holding, so I'm going to keep the conversation going into the next hour, and I'll do my best to get to your calls as quickly as I can in the next hour. So if you're able to hang on, wonderful. By the way, last week I talked about rising tide of Jew hatred worldwide and asked, is it so? And I asked for people to call who believe that Jews, in fact, were trying to take over the world, and that there was a Zionist conspiracy trying to rule the world. One guy called in and said he listens on this station in Boston, WEZ. I'm reminded because we just had a Boston caller, so I'm changing subjects for a moment. And he said, yeah, it's the same Jewish domination there. I'm on, and Jay Sekulow is on. It was quite an enlightening call, actually. So some dear gentleman named Joe, this was so sweet. He wrote in the same day and said, my name is Joe, and I listen on WEZE Boston, and I want you to know that everyone does not agree with the caller named Bob about you guys dominating the station. I'm a Gentile, but I love Jews, and especially people like you who believe in Jesus and try to reach others. God bless you. Joe, I assure you, the last thought I had was that Bob was speaking for anybody except a tiny, tiny, tiny fringe minority, and I hope Bob sees things differently in the future. I fully understand that the vast, 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 vast majority of listeners have a very different perspective and appreciate the stations and appreciate me as a Jewish follower of Jesus. 866-34-TRUTH. I will be getting to your call, so hang on in a few minutes on the other side of the break. I want to encourage everyone to go to my website, to go to townhall.com and read my article, because I didn't get to talk about this, on the not-so-massive non-believers rally in D.C. And I'm going to have a special guest talking about answers to atheists tomorrow. But the not-so-massive non-believers rally in D.C., townhall.com, you can read about that. Remember, two events in New York. This Wednesday, speaking at Nyack College, their chapel service, 361 Broadway, Wednesday at 5 o'clock. And then the meet and greet, the Jews for Jesus building, Saturday night, 6 to 8. But you need to RSVP. Shoot us a note at info@askdrbrown.org if you're definitely coming. info@askdrbrown.org. Make sure you take advantage of our wonderful resource offer. Two DVDs, 2 hours, The Deity of Messiah, Son of God or Chosen Man, one of the most eye-opening, enlightening, informative debates you can imagine. Just $15 postage paid for the two-hour, two-DVD set. Call 1-800-278-9978 to order. 1-800-278-9978, or go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the line of fire. My bottom line, the topic today has revealed once again many deep misunderstandings, many deep areas of lack of trust within the body over the issue of race. Let us put the issues on the table, plainly, honestly, out of love for God and love for one another. We are about to tackle the controversies right here on the Line of Fire. Oh, yes, things will be heating up.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Boy, I've got a bunch of things on my mind I want to talk to you about, but over the last hour, our phone lines have been lit up continually as we raise some questions about the killing of Trayvon Martin, some questions that bring out some issues of racial tension that exist in America in the body of Christ today. We're going to talk about that some more, get your input, and I want to raise a few other issues today. It's Monday. We're going to cover a lot of ground here on The Line of Fire. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884 to weigh in, or online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Okay, some things I want to get to later this hour. I was reading a sports report, a soccer game, someone used a gay slur to someone, and it's being investigated. And I'm all for sensitivity. I'm all for understanding what hurts people and being sensitive to that. At the same time, Tim Tebow, now a New York Jet, no longer with the Denver Broncos, famous for his Christian faith and his success as a college football player and beyond, he can get bashed. His faith can get bashed. And then in general, believers can get bashed, and you can use every kind of degrading term to speak about people of faith and to mock. That's okay. How is that okay? How is a gay slur not tolerated? And you'll never hear me use one. How is that not tolerated? And at the same time, people of faith can be... I'm not just talking about public figures, but picture if Tim Tebow was a famous gay quarterback or something, was getting bashed. Could you imagine it? So that catches my attention. I want to update you a little bit on the rally that took place in D.C. yesterday. I've got an article on Saturday, the atheist, non-believer, secularist rally. Read my article, the not-so-massive non-believers rally in D.C. at townhall.com. But the question that generated a tremendous amount of controversy in the first hour was this. I was just trying to gain insight and aspects of the Trayvon Martin killing. What we know from reports that seem corroborated all the way around, what we know is that George Zimmerman, Hispanic American, was on a night watch, was following Trayvon Martin and told police he was, and they told him not to, that he was armed with a gun he was not supposed to be. We know that. Apparently, there was a confrontation fight, according to the reports. George Zimmerman's nose was broken and he was wounded in the back of his head. He ends up killing Trayvon Martin, just 17 years old, says it was self-defense, and the police don't even arrest him or press charges or, it seems, investigate things further. That's caused tremendous outrage. What I was wondering about, trying to understand, had to do with a cultural issue, because I don't know any more about the case than you do. I want to see justice done, and you don't need the new Black Panthers calling for a bounty on George Zimmerman's head. What we need is proper police investigation and let justice take its course. It's a tragic situation. Either way, let justice take its course. I was trying to understand now with people wearing hoodies to show solidarity with Trayvon Martin. I read a quote last year. In the back of my head, I thought, okay, all right, the mayor of Philadelphia, now he said this was virtually an assassination. There was no reason for something like this to happen. And then people having these hoodie rallies and things like that. Whereas the mayor of Philadelphia last year seemed to deplore the dress. As he said in a Baptist church service, take those gosh darn hoodies down, especially in the summer. Pull your pants up by a belt. No one wants to see your underwear. On and on. It seemed to have a negative connotation. I was just trying to understand, okay, what's actually happening? Did it have a negative connotation? Was it just a matter of racial profiling? There's an interesting article now, My Take, Where's the White Church Outrage Over Trayvon Martin, by, looks like, a white Christian. We'll talk about it.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I just to throw this into the mix and then go straight to your calls that quickly. 866-34-TRUTH. Mark Pinsky, former religion reporter for the Orlando Sentinel and author of Amazing Gifts, Stories of Faith, Disability, and Inclusion. I wonder about the inclusion part, what he means by that. He says, in the aftermath of the fatal shooting of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin in Sanford, Florida, not far from here, the mystifying missing element so far has been white outrage, especially on the part of Central Florida's religious leaders. Few, if any, white clergy have spoken up to demand that the killing be fully investigated. None can be seen standing by the African-American preachers calling for justice or marching with Martin's family members. Why? Another question, I haven't followed it carefully enough to have been aware of that. That's an interesting question to raise. Is it because it's a black kid and the white clergy doesn't respond to that? Is it because they don't like the Black Panther involvement and the outrage and the anger when the case hasn't been tried? Or is it just a matter of saying, hey, we need to investigate this. There needs to be justice. Another question to put out as I'm wondering out loud here with you, 866-34-TRUTH, straight to the phones. Maurice in Brandywine, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
This is Maurice. Got a just listening to all of the conversation, I served as a diversity advocate in the federal government for a long time, and I think one of the things that we're not addressing is that these behaviors are biased. A gentleman spoke earlier about somebody else having the power, and racism is about power, to determine what is appropriate dress, what is acceptable dress for another group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the day, if somebody says to you that carrying a Bible makes you a criminal, do they have the right, do they have the power to criminalize you because of what you carry? There was a time when long hair was considered inappropriate, didn't make those people bad, just mm-hmm. there were people who were uncomfortable with it. And so for some group, some unknown, unauthorized group to determine that hoodies are inappropriate or have a negative connotation, the mere fact that they can do that speaks of racism. It gives power over another group of people. And I think we have to be careful. The reality is we all have our own attitudes, biases, and beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And if you act on a bias, then it makes you that thing. So if you act based on race or racial bias, your behavior is racial. You
right.
may not be a racist at the moment, but if you continue that pattern without questioning your own assumptions, then you are, in fact, racist. Your
all
behavior
right, so,
is racist.
All right. So Maurice, just to understand this better, let's separate two things. Let's separate George Zimmerman's actions, if in fact he saw a black teenager with a hoodie and he profiled him and thought, oh, he could be, and let's say he provoked the whole thing, he's totally guilty. I mean, we don't know all the details.
We don't know.
Let's just say, what if, but we'll separate that. When the only reason I raised the question and the understanding I've been trying to get and the calls the first hour were very helpful to me, was that it was a black mayor who had drawn attention to this and the hoodie is being inappropriate, especially in the summer. And it had a negative connotation. That's what just made me wonder, boy, I thought this had a negative connotation. Now it's being just looked at as a neutral or racial profile and things. That's what I was trying to understand. So the calls
okay.
have been helpful, but how would you characterize Mayor Nutter's speech? That's my question for
yeah,
you.
Because I don't want people to think that racism doesn't exist within race and within culture.
Okay.
And so for a black person to become the spokesperson for all black people, is absolutely inappropriate. The mayor may have a difficult time with it, but it doesn't mean that the rest of quote-unquote black America has a problem with it. The reality
okay.
is I've got sons who are athletes who, when they work out in the summer, because of their workout and conditioning, put on hoodies to cover their head so that they get home and get in without being exposed to the air. So a hoodie in the summertime doesn't make you a criminal. If I've got a son who's a graduate of Georgetown, if he wears his pants baggy, doesn't make him a criminal. If you act upon him based on your bias, your assumption about what baggy pants means, then it makes you biased or racist or whatever the case may be. And at the core of the day, what we've got to do is challenge our assumptions. Let me give you a quick example. If I said to you...
Yeah, let me just ask you one question, and I appreciate
sure.
your consistency there. That's what I was probing for, and you answered very plainly. So Just a quick further question, then back to you. I absolutely would be happy with a modesty law where kids had to pull their pants up, because I think it's obscene to be walking around with their underwear hanging out, you know, even though they're wearing the baggy underwear and so on. I'd be perfectly happy if the standards in our society were such, that kids had to pull their pants. And a caller indicated in the first hour as well that plenty of white kids have followed the pattern so it's across race in terms of wearing it. But that to me, that I'm not judging anyone to be a criminal or anything. I'm just saying that's gross. Pull your pants up. So you have to allow that having nothing to do with race or anything, just modesty, propriety, things like that, public appearance. You know, say, hey, you can't come into our restaurant if you don't have a shirt on, you know, if you're not wearing shoes, right? Standard things like that. So I've got no problem saying you got to pull your pants up. But that is not a race issue to me. That's a modesty issue. I just want to say that. Back to you.
Right, and I agree. But if you act on it, if for example you see kids with baggy pants, and you let's say black kids with baggy pants, and you walk across the street, you're acting on a bias, and you become whatever that bias is. That behavior is biased.
Got it.
And so if you, for example, if I said to you, white men can't what?
Jump.
Jump. Absolutely.
It does apply to me.
Team,
right.
And I don't select any white guys, then. Because I'm operating in my bias, my behavior is racist.
Right.
And I have impacted
I appreciate the nuance that you're drawing, that you have a bias, you act on the bias, as opposed to, you might wonder, okay, most white athletes, most white basketball players don't have the abilities of Dirk Nowitzki or the rebounding abilities of Kevin Love or whatever, but you give everyone a shot. Right.
Absolutely.
And that's the only thing. Hey, listen, let me get to some other calls, but thank you, sir, for your call and your thoughts. I appreciate it very much.
All right.
866-34-TRUTH. Helen in Alexandria, Virginia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Thanks for holding.
Thanks. I think one of the reasons the mayor addressed the hoodie and sag pants issue were to make young black men aware that there were other clothes to wear other than just, you know, the hoodies, to broaden your wardrobe and look like young men. We are wearing the hoodies now because, let's see, I think he may have been profiled for wearing it, and it was on a day, it may have been on a day that was raining off and on. If he was wearing a red shirt, we probably would be wearing, you know, a red shirt to symbolize, I guess, the issue.
Right, so it's in other words, it was not a universally negative symbol in the culture. And now it's simply being done for solidarity.
That's all. That's what I'm thinking. That's why I'm wearing. You know, I'm female, and I wear them, you know, for gym and things
like
that. Yeah,
of course.
So I think that's the only reason why we're doing it now. Like, if he was wearing a red shirt, that was the last thing I think he had on.
There's had to be some association, negative association,
exactly,
with racial profiling. It was just a red shirt, unless all the gang kids wore a red shirt, or there were a lot of break-ins with people wearing red shirts. But like I couldn't imagine.
I don't know all the gang colors.
I'm just giving a hypothetical. Mm-hmm. But Helen,
okay.
I don't think that. If he was wearing the pants hanging down and his underwear showing, that everybody would be wearing that today, because that's just considered a negative, whereas the hoodie is not considered a universal negative. And that's, again, I was trying to understand based on the mayor's comments. And
right.
Anyway, hey, Helen, thank you so much
thank
for
you
calling.
So much for listening. Thank you.
God bless you. Appreciate it. All right. Hey, Joey or Andrew, if you could just... Looks like we just had a breakdown on my server here, so we'll be back up and running in a moment. Police officer is on hold. I want to talk to you in a moment, sir. And again, I'm just probing to ask questions here to have better understanding in things that could potentially divide us, things that could produce further misunderstanding. And when I see racial tension flare up in America, when I see these things happen, it always concerns me. It always grieves me. And it's easy to be reactionary, isn't it, on every side? It's easy to be reactionary and point fingers and wonder and who's doing what and so on. Very easy for those things to happen. So that's why we have these conversations. And I want to say, aside from the first caller a little over an hour ago that seemed to be a bit accusatory in tone, I appreciate everyone getting on and sharing thoughts in a civil, clear-headed way with me so that we can better understand each other. 866-342. I want to take a couple more calls on this, and then I want to move on to some other subjects as well. This has been important, so I extended it on into the second hour, although I wasn't planning on doing it. So I want to take a few more calls when we come back. 866-34-TRUTH. Remember, go to townhall.com. The not-so-massive non-believers rally in D.C. Read it and be enlightened.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Again, it was the comments of Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter last year. Take those gosh darn hoodies down, especially in the summer. Pull your pants up by a belt. No one wants to see your underwear, etc. If you walk into somebody's office with your hair uncombed, pick in the back, your shoes untied, your pants half down, tattoos up and down your arms, on your neck, you wonder why somebody won't hire you. They don't hire you because you look like you're crazy. You've damaged your own race. It's a comment he made, and the hoodie was in the context of all these other negatives, which made me wonder how it suddenly became just an area of solidarity. So I'm just trying to sort this out in the midst of a tragedy, which hopefully justice will be served in this. Shame you cannot bring the young man back. Obviously, that's the greater issue. 866-34-TRUTH. Dave in Bradenton, Florida. You're a police officer, sir?
I'm retired for 3 years, but I mean, just 3 years ago. And I mean, I'm still in contact with many of the guys that I worked with for 21 years. And I'm overloaded with information on this particular case and cases in general. First of all, in Florida, we have gated communities. The reason why we have gated communities is because if you don't live in a gated community, the black on white crime rate in this state is 42-1. For every one crime a white man or so-called white man, Caucasian, makes against a black, there are 41 crimes committed against whites from blacks. This George Zimmerman, he's all of a sudden a white Hispanic. That's a new one.
Right, and I understand. That would be like Mr. Obama being a white black man.
A white black. That's exactly right. I'm amazed by the American media trying to once again have the white man, this is symbolic now, you have to understand that, the white man versus the black man. And this is another indication that white people do evil things to black people. This is like 150 years ago with slavery. And what I see is I see a kid with a hoodie who allegedly, and this is something the media is not reporting, attacked Mr. Zimmerman, the Hispanic gentleman, and broke his nose and probably did him more damage, which will probably come out. The hoodie, as far as all my the intertwined I had with gang members, almost always there was certain garb. You wore certain colors, you wore a hoodie. Whether you were white in a white gang, and there are white gangs, a Hispanic gang or a black gang, your first caller sounded like a lawyer from the ACLU. I mean, I have to get to common sense because that's what I lived. Uh-huh. That's what I dealt with. This kid getting killed, it's terrible for anybody to get killed. But I wonder why a police chief and a whole group of detectives didn't charge this guy. You know, they talk about all the phone calls that he made. Well, he's a neighborhood watch guy. That's what they do. They call the police when they see something going wrong. And I would just ask the American people to sit back and not let the media control their minds right now, because once again, they're being reinforced with the idea that whites commit blacks, and this gentleman happens not to be white. He's Hispanic, but all of a sudden he's painted as white, literally painted as white by the media in order to make a demonstration, in order to make another push. And maybe it's also to help Mr. Obama. Maybe it's also to help Barack Obama and have everybody re-energized on the idea that, blacks have had terrible things happen to them in this nation for the 235 years it's been around. I just see a lot of different tentacles.
All right. So let me ask one thing just on the police level, Dave. Okay.
Yeah.
From what I understand from the calls, he had this gentleman, Mr. Zimmerman, you know, it's good you're doing neighborhood watch. That's a positive. Doesn't mean you're doing it properly. That he had something like 43 emergency calls in the last 9 months or something on his watch, but that he said he was following the young man and the police told him not to, and that he was also armed with a gun when he was not supposed to be. Are those issues that concern you?
Yeah, well, there's two things. Down here in Florida, there is, you can have, as a citizen, providing you pass a course, you can carry concealed weapon. And so I don't know what his weapon status was and whether or not he legitimately had a concealed weapon or he didn't. The other thing is we always tell, 911 will always tell a citizen, don't pursue the attacker, let us take care of it. What happens is a citizen will often feel that we won't get there in time. Sometimes, you know, it might take us a good 20 minutes because we're undermanned, we're understaffed. You know, we need more police officers, especially down here in Florida. Florida is it's a very precarious situation. We had a karate instructor, well-loved, in a place called Sarasota, Florida. Black kid goes up to his house, shoots him in the chest twice for no reason. He thought the young black man thought that there's only a wife there. He saw her from the kitchen window. And the poor guy is murdered for no reason. And it's like these kids have no remorse. It happens maybe two or three times a week down here. Those stories are never reported. You know, Mr. Ellis happened to be a white karate instructor, and the person that killed him was a young black man. But when it comes to these other type stories, they're reported like there's no tomorrow. I mean, everybody in this country knows the name of the black young man that was killed, and everybody knows who Mr. Zimmerman is, and everybody thinks that he's a Caucasian. I mean, right. that's what we right. have right now. The only people, the only black that I've seen to step up, and this is, you're going to love this, are the pastors. The pastors and the ministers, they've been telling the kids, right along as that mayor has, to stop doing what they've been doing, to stop going for what they call the gangsta lifestyle, and to stop being good Christian men. We have a lot of good Christian young black, white, Hispanic people down here, and they're keeping this community, this town, this city, this state together. I plead with you to keep on bringing the word of Jesus Christ to the people of America, because I got to tell you, as a former police officer and still in touch with a lot of my brethren, this country's falling apart, and we're barely able to keep it together right now.
All right, Dave, listen, I appreciate you calling. Because you're a police officer and right in the middle of the situation living in Florida, I wanted to give you some extra time to share that. I can't wait to hear what callers are going to say in response to your call, sir. But here's what I want every one of us to agree on. Our hope for America is in the gospel of Jesus.
Yes.
Our only hope, our society, our culture has fallen apart in 1,000 different ways, and we need to turn to God and humble ourselves and ask him to have mercy, because we are in big trouble here in America. Thanks for calling, Dave.
Amen,
I appreciate
Dr. Brown. Amen.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Friends, if you were calling and you wanted to talk about something else, but instead you would like to respond to what Dave, police officer, had to say, I am going to keep the conversation going. 866-34-TRUTH. If I don't get to talk about the atheist rally, would you please just go online and read my article at least? Would you do that? And I'll keep the conversation going here on these volatile issues. So it's the not-so-massive non-believer rally in D.C. Go to townhall.com. Okay, I'm holding in my hands, to switch subjects, one of the best resources we have. It's a two-hour debate on two DVDs. Dr. James White and I teamed together debating Sir Anthony Buzzard and Mr. Joseph Good on the question of the deity of Messiah, Son of God, Chosen Man. So many questions you'll find answered here decisively and clearly. $15 postage paid. Great resource at a great price. Call or order 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978 or online askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. We have been walking through a minefield of sorts today, raising discussion from some different angles about the coming of Trayvon Martin in Florida. 866-34-TRUTH. I've had a few other issues I've wanted to talk about, and I'll make a few comments briefly and then go back to the phones about the situation with Trayvon Martin. Fair enough? So all of your holding, we'll get to your calls. But welcome all you just tuning in now to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. There was a not-so-massive rally of atheists and secularists and non-believers in D.C. yesterday. And I wrote an article about it. Maybe I'll talk more about it tomorrow as well. But I wrote an article, The Not-So-Massive Non-Believers Rally in D.C. You'll find it very interesting, enlightening, informative. It's on townhall.com. So as soon as you get a break, go there and read it. I've also just been thinking more about the incredible degree of sensitivity that there is. The moment there is a gay slur, an alleged gay slur, it happened in sports recently, it's happened with a basketball player recently, and now with a soccer player, and you know, they're investigating. And I thought, you know, just you think of all of the constant slurs against believers, the constant maligning. I'm not saying one justifies the other. I'm saying they're both wrong. But the double standard is mind-boggling to me. And as Tim Tebow, no longer with the Denver Broncos, now a New York Jet, comes to New York, of course, his faith, fair game. Well, he's a public figure. Okay, what if it was some gay entertainer that was now relocating to New York or starting a series on, you know, one-person play on Broadway, and everyone was going to get on this person because they were gay? Would that, even for a public figure, would that be tolerated for a split second? So why is Jesus bashing, Christian bashing okay? I mean, the double standard remains mind-boggling to me. But back to the issue at hand. My initial question simply had to do with Trayvon Martin, and I heard negative comments about hoodies from Mayor Nutter and others in the past, Mayor Nutter of Philadelphia, comments about take these off, and they were associated with the baggy pants hanging down with the underwear showing and different things like that. And based on that, I was just wondering how it now became a universal symbol of solidarity. Did it have no negative connotations? Just wondering out loud about it. Well, we just received a call from a gentleman I believe is white, sounded white, former police officer in Florida, but still very much in touch with police, in touch with police, even involved with the Trayvon Martin case. And he said that acts of violence, black on white, compared to white on black, are 42-1 in his area. 42-1 black on white instances of violence, and yet you don't hear national outrage. What are the blacks doing to the whites? Here it was an alleged white man. It wasn't white, he was Hispanic. Look at what he did to a black kid. There's outrage. Now, previous callers said the outrage is just the way it was handled. This police officer said, well, don't you think all the police knew what they were doing? Don't you think when they looked at the whole thing, they realized it was a matter of self-defense? And because of that, he was not even charged, or there was no further investigation? Or is that just an example of racial profiling by the police? So I want to get your take on this, but please hear me. This is not a conservative political talk show. We are on Christian stations, and I'm on this show as a follower of Jesus, devoted to him and to his people and to making him known around the world. That's why I'm on the air. I'm not on the air to espouse racial causes, obviously. I'm not on the air to espouse political causes. I'm on the air for the sake of righteousness. So that's the context of our conversation. Fair enough? You weigh in, but just remember, this is not conservative talk radio. This is Christian talk radio. Back with your calls.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're going to dive right in, and we are going to go right to your calls, your feedback, your input, your thoughts. And whatever we say, let's say it with the goal of being constructive. I'm asking for input because I want to listen, I want to learn, I want to understand, and I want to share my views as well as I formulate them. 866-34-TRUTH. Vincent in Atlanta, thanks for calling the line of fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, thank you, sir.
I actually just had 3 points to make, but the longer I was on hold, the more points that you brought about that I could disperse upon. However, I'm going to try to make this as brief as possible, and then I'll hang up and listen to your response. First of all, in response to the previous caller, Dave, the policeman out of Florida, I would agree with him that, you know, the liberal media, but I would say not necessarily the liberal media, but there is always an agenda, whether you're liberal, conservative, black, or white. You know, so-called black leaders, they have agendas as well. And as well as, you know, conservatives or white folks, like he said, this, you know, may be a scheme or, you know, the purpose of blowing this out of proportion as it is to help the president. Well, you know, some may perceive that as an agenda or as a way to, you know, have a negative effect upon the president's election. But one of the things that I would agree with him would be the fact that there is an agenda. And I do like his comment about bringing the word of Jesus and spreading the word of Jesus. I think in the eyes of God, there is no black and white, liberal or conservative. There's only good and evil. You know, Jesus healed Jew and Gentile at a time when the Jews looked down upon Gentiles. So, you know, I don't necessarily believe that he would choose sides based on race or anything like that. However, I did disagree with, you know, I mean, I don't look at a white kid. I'm an American of African descent. However, I don't look at a white kid or every white kid that I see with a low haircut and assume that he's a skinhead or that he's a racist. So I don't, you know, I don't feel that white folks or Hispanics should look at all black people with hoodies on and assume they're gangbangers, you know.
Right.
A lot of times we like to, it's so easy for us to categorize and put different situations into one group, into one block, into one sec. And I think we have to back away from doing that and kind of look at each situation as an original situation or as a separate situation versus trying to categorize, put everything in one group or box.
Vincent, just to dive in, only because we got a ton of callers that I want to try to get to. So I appreciate your perspective there. The challenge is, if you're involved in law enforcement, if you're involved in community watch or whatever it is, you know, if you're having trouble with skinheads, and then you see someone come in that looks like a skinhead, you have to evaluate it on an individual basis. But you watch more carefully, and I don't know simple answers for that because that's not the area I work in or live in. When I see some kid, white or black, with the pants hanging down and the underwear sticking out, what I think is that's stupid, and I feel bad for them because I feel they're doing something that's stupid. there's no race associated with it or anything associated because all kinds of people do it now. To me, it's just stupid. What are you doing? It's stupid, and you should pull your pants up, but I don't have the authority or the right to tell them. Hey, Vincent, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Christine in Silver Spring, Maryland, thanks for calling the line of fire.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing very well, thanks.
Good. I just wanted to address a few things before I started, because just like the previous caller, there's so much that has been said while I was listening on hold. First thing I want to address is Zimmerman is not a Hispanic name. His father is actually Caucasian, and his mother is Peruvian. In reference to Officer Dave...
Well, can I... Just a question for you. So how do you characterize our president? Is he a Caucasian black?
As a mixed person of mixed descent. I don't look at him as a black president or a white president. His father is African. His mother is Caucasian.
Got it. Okay. I mean, most just refer to him as a black president, just like Tiger Woods is a black golfer, but Tiger Woods is really an Asian African.
I agree with you. A lot of people do that. I personally don't. I feel
fair enough. No, you're being consistent then. That's why I asked.
Yeah.
Back to you. Go ahead.
Okay. In reference to the hoodie question, because I want to be respectful of what you are saying, your initial point of this whole discussion was, according to what I saw or heard, I should say, on Anderson Cooper, the weather actually warranted a hoodie. The weather actually warranted a hoodie. Mm-hmm. In reference to what you spoke about, his father saying that did not sound like his son, on Anderson Cooper with his parents live on the air, mm-hmm. his mother said, that was my son's voice. A mother knows her son's voice. So that was to address that topic. And I just want to say I agree with you completely that it is uncalled for to wear your pants sagging, showing your underwear. It serves no purpose. However, a hoodie serves a purpose. There's a purpose for a hoodie. I mean, this was created by a fashion designer, whatever decade, for a purpose. And as everyone has tried to state, and if, as you said, the mayor indicated, the mayor did not solely say no hoodie. He said with the package deal, hoodies, flat, you know, your pants.
Yeah, and Christine, that's why, look, he referred to them as gosh darn hoodies and so on. There was a picture being painted, and that's what I was just trying to understand. Has something that was a negative symbol become neutral, whatever? And by the way, I'm not, the hoodie is separate. No one was accusing this kid of walking around with pants hanging down. But even if he was, you don't follow him. But either way, I don't know any more about the situation than you do. I read the report about the father saying this. Another caller mentioned what the mother said, but I don't know either way. I just want to see justice done. I want to see the thing investigated and find out what, I mean, you have at this point, of course, you have to. If there was a travesty of justice, if this was an absolutely horrific thing that was done and the police just looked the other way, that needs to come out. If it's more to the story, it's still a tragic loss of life. It needs to come out. But I appreciate, again, I've gotten a good amount of feedback, and what you say reinforces that. And just out of sensitivity to other callers, I want to get to some more calls. But thanks for the input. And obviously, we've got to really look at things, talk them through, understand, because everything can explode. You know, it can get so, we all get divided. Whereas if we're brothers and sisters in Jesus, let's figure out what we can work together to mend the wounds in our society, because they're pretty deep. I think we agree on that.
I agree with you, and I'll just end it with this, if you don't mind.
Please.
With reference to Mr. Officer Dave, just from hearing his voice, he sounded like a gentleman that has worked, you know, within that respected school for an extended period of time. I could hear the frustration in his voice, and I feel that, you know, if I can even try to understand Mr. Zimmerman's perspective, I would not even necessarily say Zimmerman was a racist per se. I do believe he might have had a frustration level, which I believe I heard the same frustration level from Officer Dave, based on the environment that you live. But the troubling part to me is the fact that the police department did not exercise, in my opinion, just an opinion, proper due diligence with making sure that this wasn't just a frustrated person who might have been justifiable with his frustration, but reacted incorrectly.
Yeah, and Christine, just to say this, you know, the idea of George Zimmerman, if he was white, if he's Hispanic, if he's Peruvian, if he's whatever, that doesn't make you less or more prone to being a racist. You know what I'm saying? That's the part that's interesting to me, that people try to make him white so he can be more of a racist, because if he was Hispanic, he would. Well, to me, being a racist is completely not the question. The question was there profiling? You can profile.
And I think that Zimmerman was a frustrated person, reacted incorrectly, and he has to be prosecuted like anyone else would be.
Yeah, so the big question that I want to find out, like everyone else, was, according to the police officer that called, there is good reason, based on everything the police knew and saw, to not press charges. Others would say it's an outrage of justice. So we're going to find out. I really believe there's so much scrutiny on this. We will find out. Thank you for the call, Christine. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
866-34-TRUTH. You know, I don't want to cut someone off before the break, so hang on, and I'll get to a few more calls before we are done here. I just want to say again, as I said in the first hour, that when I raise issues like this that can potentially be volatile, it's a certain risk you take, because I don't want to alienate someone over secondary issues. In other words, that I'm misunderstood or that someone thinks I've got racial bias or I'm not sensitive, because that's not who I am. Those are not issues with me. But when something is this big in the news and before the nation, I'm trying to find a constructive way to come in and discuss it. So I really appreciate the calls. If you're a follower of Jesus, then our union goes beyond male, female, black, white, Jew, Gentile. It goes far beyond any of that. And we can learn from each other. Let's go forward, not backward. I'm sure we will. Back with your calls.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
May I ask for your prayer? Tonight I'll be having another debate with my friend Rabbi Shmuley. This will be the second debate in, 13 days? And this will be at Sid Roth's studio, his new studio is right outside of Charlotte, in Charlotte. And this will be televised, not tonight, not live, but recorded to be televised. So you'll all be able to watch this on TV shortly. Okay, back to your thoughts on the Trayvon situation, 866-34-TRUTH on his killing and the related issues we're discussing. Nathaniel in Greensboro, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing, Dr. Brown?
Doing very well. Thank you, sir.
I'm also in law enforcement. I'm not on patrol on the road. I work inside the jail, but we still have some of the similar training that officers have that are on the road. And with that said, I like to say that we are trained to look for certain things in people. I mean, there's certain things that will trigger a red flag in an officer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're trained to, you know, if you have tattoos, we're trained to look at those tattoos, because those tattoos mean something 90% of the time, especially if you're in a gang.
Uh-huh.
We're also trained to look at, you know, how you're dressed. All these things trigger red flags to make an officer take a second look and say, hey, I need to pay attention to the situation or pay attention to these individuals over here and let me see what they're doing. If they're not doing anything, they'll move on.
Right.
Even in the jail, we have to take pictures of these tattoos. We look at the way they're dressed. And I can tell you now, working inside the detention setting, the majority of people that come in there with their bags, with their pants below their butts and wearing hoodies and tattoos, they are in gangs. They are drug dealing or committing some type of crime, armed robbery. That's how they dress.
All right, so Nathaniel, let me just ask one other related question.
Okay.
The story about the pants hanging down as allegedly starting in prison and being a homosexual thing and someone saying they were available, is there truth to that from your perspective?
There is. What they say where it originated at was in prison. So I don't know exactly where. I don't know if it was California or where. I think it started in California, where they were taking the belts from inmates and because they were using belts to hang themselves or for
right,
or other
right.
reasons. So they took belts from them. And from that, their pants started sagging. And some of those guys who were being released, they're saying that, you know, they got out and that was a type of style on the street.
Right. Right. Okay.
And it does happen. You can see, sometimes you can tell somebody has been in prison by the way they dress. I mean, it's not, I guess the point I'm trying to make is, it's only natural to look at somebody and to think a certain thing because of things that have happened in the past. Now, does it make it right all the time? No. Like in the situation that's happened down there in Florida, for him to be followed because he had a hoodie on just because he was black. No, it's not. It's not right. But the point I'm trying to make is, yes, people are going to look at you a certain way if you dress a certain way, or you know, by your personal appearance. Now, saying that, I am an African American, I have a son, and I'm training him to leave the house a certain way. No, son, you're not going to leave this house with your pants below your butt. No, you're not going to walk outside with your hat turned to the side, because I know it's just a fact. People are going to look at you a certain way, whether it's right or wrong. That's right. How they're going to look. They're going to look at you funny. No, you're not going to have tattoos while you're living in my house.
All right. Now, Nathaniel, a question for you. And, of course, I respect that, and that would be the same for, you know, for our kids. We had two daughters, so we had to just, you know, set standards in other ways with our girls. But how do you feel, then, about the hoodie solidarity thing? Obviously, it's being done in solidarity, and it's being done to send a message that not everyone wearing a hoodie is a criminal or a gang member or a dangerous person. Do you have any mixed feelings about that display just because of – go ahead.
I do because I've experienced – like I said, I've looked at it through law enforcement eyes. I see what comes in the detention setting. But when I take my uniform off, like the gentleman that said that his son wears a hoodie when he's working out, I do the same thing.
Right, right.
I'll run around the track. I'm a weightlifter. I used to play semi-pro football, so that I knew exactly where he was coming from. I would wear a hoodie. So
you're like a basketball player. Basketball player, you know, they put the long johns on, you know, the sweatpants rather, you know, and they put a hood on when they're sitting there because of sweating and all that. And
right.
Yeah. So,
the thing is now this. People have to. They have to use wisdom. Because of this day and time. Like I said, it doesn't make it right or wrong. But a young black male doesn't need to be walking in a convenience store with a hoodie, because I mean he might as well just expect to be looked at funny, or watched more closely than somebody else that's going to walk in there. Because that's because of the people that have come in there before him who have robbed stores with hoodies. You look at the videotapes of people who come in and rob stores, what are they wearing? So somebody that's working behind the counter, they see somebody coming in with a hoodie on, they're automatically going to say, okay, let me watch this person, and their guard's going to go up, the red flag's going to go up. We have to use wisdom. Like I said, does it make it right to profile? And no, but, I mean, it's just the way it is. And it's because of people who have people who are committing these crimes, that's the way they're dressing.
So it would be the same thing if you had skinheads in a certain look, white skinheads, you know, white supremacists had a certain look and a certain tattoo, which is a more overt thing than just a hoodie, obviously. And they were doing certain things, and then I got a white kid and he's going to do a certain thing and wear his hair a certain way. I just said, look, man, you're asking for trouble when you're doing that. Hey, listen, Nathaniel, we're just about out of time. If folks have been listening for this hour, they'll notice that the two people I let speak the longest were those, one in your case, law enforcement working within a prison, and another former police officer, one white, one black. And the perspective, though, is very helpful, because this is, it's really ultimately not a race issue. It's more of a cultural, social decorum issue. There are other things related, and I do hope that there's justice. If there's been poor police work or something more grievous that's taken place with Trayvon Martin's killing, let that come to the surface. If George Zimmerman is being wrongly attacked, hey, yeah, go ahead. You got 10 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say, if you could give me just a minute just to disagree with you for 1 second, I do believe there is an element of racism involved in this.
Oh, no, there could well be, sir. There could well be. But here,
where I'm working at.
I just got to jump in, though. Nathaniel, I'm literally out of time. But please stay on the line. Make your comments to Andrew, and he'll pass them on to me. But it is duly noted, sir, that you feel there is racism going on. And there may well be. This may be a terrible issue of racism. But please share your comments with Andrew. He'll pass them on, and I will share them with the listeners tomorrow. Fair enough? Okay, folks, I probably said fair enough 80 times in the show today. Take advantage of a wonderful resource, 2-hour DVD on the deity of the Messiah, 2-hour debate on is Jesus divine or not. We've reduced the price. We're paying the postage. Order today, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, let justice be done in the killing of Trayvon Martin. Let the truth come to light. Let us learn from this, and let us move forward as a nation. Change the world.